are back on the Free Range Tales. With me, as always, my homie, Adrian Lozano.
Yeah, buddy. We are back.
Good to be back with
you, man. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Got the ladies here.
Yeah, today we got some special guests. Amy, Anna, thank you for joining us.
Hey, cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers. Whoa. That was a good cheers right there.
Aggressive cheers.
Very intense.
Well, if you follow us on Instagram, which you should, please subscribe. Check us out on Instagram. You saw a photo of all of us because we recently went on a trip to Arizona to do an over-the-counter deer hunt.
You better believe it.
Yeah, so archery.
Round two.
Yeah, so we went last year. We had a great trip. We recapped the trip last year, and we had a great time. And this year, we went back again because we had such a good time, and we wanted to have some success out there. It just had such a good trip.
Not the same mountains, but we're still not going to disclose where those are.
Yeah, Arizona's a big state, so you can if you can figure it out, you can figure it out.
It's a lot of public land.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's a great thing. I call this hunt an opportunity hunt, right? So it's over the counter. So all you have to do is drive in there and pick up a tag. Which, by the way,
as long as they have tags.
Yeah, we had a plan. We got there and we were like, oh, we'll just stop in to Sportsman Warehouse and get a tag. And super simple. Like, you know, we're gonna get gas. We were gonna get a little bit of food. Get some stuff and then just be on our way.
Everything was going to plan. Everything was going good.
We were making up time. We were ahead of schedule.
And then Sportsman Warehouse didn't have any more tickets, tags in their booklet. Gone. Does everyone go to this one?
They must, man.
Sportsman Warehouse.
That must be a popular one. And I guess you get it there. You can pick up some supplies while you're there, whatever, you know. But yeah, I was disappointed. It was weird. I had this weird thought when we were driving out there. We have about an 8-hour drive to get out that way. And we were driving out. I had this weird thought. I said, oh, man, what if they're out of tags? And sure enough, they were.
It's your fault.
I brought the bad juju and it made it happen.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Jay.
Yeah, this year was also different because we had two guests with us this time. One,
that is true. One
is about 3 months old and the other one's a little bit older. That was actually birthed me.
Jeremy. So we had your mom join us. And you're newborn. I could call him a newborn, right? He's still 3 months old as a newborn.
Yeah, he's not quite 3 months
I don't
yet.
I don't know the rules.
It's all right. Okay. Call him whatever we want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. The nugget.
Yeah.
Sidekick.
Yeah. So I mean, in order to make the trip happen, we brought my mom along. She's retired, and you know, we built a babysitter into the trip too.
Yeah.
Because it was the only way it was going to work. So we rented a nice little Airbnb out there, had a spot to come back to, make some meals and rest at.
Yep.
And my mom got to hang out with the baby, and she was more than happy to do it because she got to spend alone time with the baby and hang out. And it allowed us to go all out and have fun. And
thank
do
you,
our thing.
Janet. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you to Granny Janet.
Really, really appreciate it.
Grandma or Granny Janet. I like Granny Janet. There was, ring to it.
There, you know, she made the trip happen, you know, for all four of us to be out there and hunt. So there was a couple of other factors, you know, that allowed the trip to happen. Starting off with 2.5 days before we left, when I decided to dry fire my bow while practicing.
Oops.
Probably the thing that, like, when you're shooting archery, they say not to do, you know, don't do this.
Don't ever do this.
And you found out why.
I got super distracted. I was practicing and
you weren't showing off, were you?
No, I'm not showing off. If I was showing off, I would remember that I have an arrow. I'm like,
just want to make sure.
Yeah.
No,
there is no showing off. It was strictly just practicing, and I was talking. I just got distracted, and my coworker doesn't know anything about archery and stuff. So when we were talking, he didn't know to tell me you don't have an arrow in there, which, yeah.
But then he figured out why it's such a bad thing.
Yeah. He did. So I took it immediately to Riverside Archery, which happens to be just down the street from me, 10 minutes away from my work. I got lucky that they're so close. So basically, I just went in there with my tail between my legs and just like, oh, I just dry fired my bow. Help me. So those guys are awesome over there. And they immediately just rolled up their sleeves. First, they try to, you know, ease my pain and like, I think you're okay. Looking at it first look, you're looking all right. I was like, cool. It felt good. And then 5 minutes later, when they put it on the bow press, put it back, strings back on, they realized I had buckled my cams. So the wheels for that hold the string, those actually are aluminum and they bent. And it just is a matter of time before that breaks. And you're dealing with a lot of force on those compound boats, and it's just nothing to mess with. So they had to call Bowtech. Shout out to Bowtech, because they overnighted the cams to me. They helped me out greatly. Let's just say that.
That's awesome. I mean, first of all, shout out to Riverside Archery. You know, good guys over there. They took care of you, kind of like you said, kind of stroked your ego a little bit, made you feel better about it.
Well, they didn't make me feel as embarrassed as I felt walking in. They were like, hey, man, it happens. It's okay. We'll get you back out
there. It happens to every newbie.
Yeah, and they knew I was in there, like, touching up my bow before, the week before. So they're like, when's your hunt trip? When do you leave? And I was like
tomorrow.
Saturday morning at 6 a.m., and it was Wednesday. So they're like, it's okay. There's a chance. Like, hold on. So they immediately jumped in, and we got the cams overnighted, and then I upgraded my limbs to 70 pounds, so it was just shooting faster. And I like it. I like the faster limbs, and I'm just so ecstatic that Riverside Archery helped me out, and Bowtech.
Yeah, shout out to Bowtech too. We all shoot Bowtech, and you know, like their equipment,
they
like their products, and the fact that they did that
is pretty good to
have that customer service. That's pretty awesome. When you called me and told me, like, I was at work, and you called me, and we're kind of at the final stages of preparation, and you called me, and I called you
from the shop.
Yeah. You were like, dude, like, cause you called me, and I was busy with something, and you text me like, dude, call me when you can. So I, you know, as soon as I could, I called you, and
I almost pooped my pants in that shop.
you were like, dude, it's no good, man. And you told me what happened. You said you dry fired it, and I was just laughing hysterically. And I said, well, just bring your binoculars. That's all that matters, because I'm still going hunting. My gear works. So just bring your binoculars with you and turn up some deer for me. I'll go on all the stuff.
And I was ready to do that. Dude, I was ready to take Anna's bow and just like change the peep sight.
Change the draw length. Yeah, and just everything. Get
it's a 60-pound bow. So
he called me too. And I was like, just laughing. I'm like, I can't believe you just did that. Like,
she just laughed at me. How messed up is that? There's guys at the shop.
I mean, what other reaction is there? Like,
I think that's kind of like that. You know, it was an unfortunate thing, and glad that it all came back together. But I think, like, the big thing on a trip like this, and especially like us having the baby and stuff, like, it requires so much planning to put a trip together like this. Like, you know, it's weird how like life is getting more complicated. Like, just as you start to grow, take on more responsibilities, life just gets a little stranger. It takes a little bit more planning to kind of get it, where it's like taking off of work and like getting all your gear all together, making sure everything's ready to go. But then if you dial everything in, like we talked, you know, last year we did all the meal prep. We did the meal prep again, where it's getting like dinners and breakfast, like we made the breakfast burritos. And thank you, Amy, for getting all that stuff together.
Amy, all day.
But it makes it so easy, because like you just don't have to think. That's one less thing to think about as you're heading out the door.
It's so nice.
And so you're dialed in and you're ready to go. And it's just super, super convenient. So I think prepping is super important.
And when you get back, you know, you have to just heat something up that's good and enjoyable. And I mean, we did a few things that took a little bit more effort this year, but and shout out to having, you know, grandma with us that helped us out, made a couple of meals herself, because she's very delicious. But it really does make your days. You can be out there and you can hunt all day long. And yes, we had a very nice Airbnb to stay in this year, because you know we don't want to bring the baby in a tent and possibly have the cold weather we had before. But I mean, really prepping and just gives you all day to hunt.
That was the only difference this year, was the Airbnb the whole time, you know, and that was actually nice. Yeah,
we'll probably be doing that again.
It is
pretty nice. I love camping. I love kind of like the backcountry.
I love that you guys had a baby, so we stayed in an Airbnb. You know?
But like at the same time, like having the Airbnb is pretty nice. It changes your perspective of what's going on, and you just can like go back, take a shower, get comfortable, have a couple drinks, and you're just chilling.
Yeah, like watch some Ted Lasso.
Watching TV.
We learned about Ted Lasso, and that was nice.
Every hunting trip, we learned about a new show.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, I'm all about it. So it was super fun. But you know, like when you go on a hunt like that, and I think, and again, I thanked both girls. I thank you guys again and again, because
totally,
you know, I get a little driven to like be out. I want to be out from like before sunrise to after sunset, and I want to grind the whole time, and I want to hunt hard, because I'm just like super committed to like making it happen. And I appreciate you guys kind of sticking with it and wanting to grind it out there.
It's, even when you got grumpy.
You couldn't see clearly, it because you were in the front
moping
seat.
Moping around.
Day four, day five, just freaking getting
You had a couple
pissed.
Of pocket knives opened up in the front seat. No, just kidding.
There was only one day that we went in a little bit early. And, you know, we had very successful days seeing deers. And I know we're going to get into all that. But it was kind of like that funky afternoon. We kind of got put in that spot where we weren't seeing a whole lot. We were kind of far on dirt roads. And then we ended up sort of by the house. And, you know, there's part of me that, you know, I haven't been away from the baby for that amount of day after day yet. So I was like, I was ready to go back and hang out with him. And I encouraged you boys to go back out. But I think that reset was actually really nice for everybody because we got up early the next morning, made it out, and we had a good day.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's important. You know, we have a crew that we're going out there and glassing together. We're doing the whole thing. And like, it's important to kind of like test everybody in it because it's a grind. You know, if you're going out every day and you're hiking, but you know, that's kind of persistence pays, you know, and it ultimately kind of did for us in this trip.
Yep.
You know, but I think like going out into the trip, like, you know, we knew the rut was going to be happening. We had picked out some spots, preseason scouting, kind of scouting on the internet and kind of picking spots and identifying them. And we were kind of sharing information left and right kind of in the lead up. And then, you know, going out there and kind of had the experience from last year, understanding what to look for, how to glass. And so, and I'm going to kick this one to you. Cause I think the first spot we went to, we'd kind of identified it as kind of potential. And like, I didn't really know. I kind of was like, it could be good, but let's go out there. And I think like you turned up some of the first deer, like just trotting around out there, some does and
deery eyes over there.
Why don't you tell us about that, Anna?
Yeah, it was the first day of hunting.
Like the first minute, practically.
Seriously.
Yeah, I know. We all set up and I guess like it's, we have a cool dynamic anyway. Like we kind of like want to all do the same and turn up deer. So like we all have our kind of our, I want to pick this side or I want to pick this side. And Adrian and I went up to this like little rock and started looking. Because that was what I was there to do.
I don't even think my tripod was set up yet.
Yeah, it was fast.
I think I was still moving and like, yeah, okay, you're going to be here. I'm going to move over there.
Oh, I set up my tripod because I was so excited.
Yeah, she went quick.
But to see what was out there.
Yeah.
Because I had so much fun the previous year. And right away, yeah, it was like a couple minutes. And I'm like, oh, yep, there they are.
There's my girls. They're back.
Yeah, and you could tell the difference between a doe and a buck right away, too, just by how they're walking.
Wow, this year you got it, huh?
Yeah.
Spent all year long figuring out the difference between a doe and a buck.
Now she gets on the radio. She's like, I got two doe. And I'm like, what? I'm just setting up my tripod still. You're finding doe?
But I think that was the fun part. I mean, the rut was in. Right when we showed up, the rut was like happening. And so like, you know, there was does out, like you could see them. And I think the important part, like I think about for you guys, you guys don't have tags in your pocket, right? So like, it's a little bit different. You're there to observe. But like, I find when I first show up, especially the first day, like to glass, like I'm moving so fast. Like I just can't settle. Like I set my tripod up, put my binoculars on there to kind of keep everything steady and settled. And I start to glass, but same. I'm moving really, really fast.
I'm the same way.
And then as soon as like I kind of like, okay, I scan the whole mountain and I'm like, don't see anything. I go, okay, like relax. And then as soon as I start to relax and settle down and I really start to look, boom, there's a deer right there.
And that's what it is. And that's what I did like right away. I was like, I'm not going to, because I mean, yeah, it's like you're
excited.
A little kid at a candy store. You just want to like look everywhere. But like something was like, just I would move my field of view and I would look everywhere and then I would move a little bit more. And so that's how it happened.
You're clearly more patient than the rest of us. Because
She's married to me. Clearly she's more patient than
right there.
Anyone.
Yes. Right there.
Yes. Well, I didn't want to bring it up, but now that you did, yes, absolutely.
It's a different episode. Let's talk about that another time.
No, but yeah, it was amazing. Just going back and just being out there again, I feel like that first day I was so excited, especially because we had eyes on does, which led to a buck, which led to a stalk. But so that whole morning, I was so enthralled with what was going on that I forgot to eat my burrito. I didn't even care about eating. I was so into my binoculars, and I love that feeling.
That day happened really fast. I mean, it was day one. We kind of took a cruisy start to that day. It was actually a full moon, and so like we kind of had anticipated the deer would be out moving a little later in the day. And sure enough, that's what happened. I mean, we showed up to the first spot. I think there was a couple of snafus. I think people left things behind and like had to go back and
like their burrito. Yeah,
like my burrito.
Someone left their burrito behind and someone forgot to eat their burrito.
So dude, it just takes time to get into the trip, you know.
Yeah, like
it
true.
Just,
well, it just I had a new pack and you know, I had a baby I was getting ready in the morning, right. And you know, there's a lot going on first day. So yes, Anna and I did make an extra trip back to the house, but with all that, she still spotted the first deer. So
and it was crazy because I heard Anna say, like, oh, I see some does, and I picked them up shortly thereafter. And then I kind of lifted my head out of my binoculars and like out of the corner of my eye, just saw like these deer running on the top of the ridge and then saw a buck. And I could just tell instantly it was a buck pushing a bunch of does. He was rutting super hard and he was pushing. And I was like, oh, there he is. And then he came like he was going the opposite direction and then turned around and came back. And then I think we all picked him up. Mm-hmm. And that was the first stock, you know, we bedded him down. And then I got to go on the first stock of the trip. And you know, it's just
stupid does.
Yeah. I mean, coos hunting is very difficult. Yeah. So we were going after coos deer. You know, I think I bumped probably 5 or 6 does in the process of stalking.
Right.
Didn't know they were there, you know, had no idea. Couldn't see them. Just didn't know they were behind a bush or bedded down somewhere. And then I come, you know, bumbling through, kind of making my stalk. And the stalk was, you know, 500-600 yards that I needed to go, you know, down a hill, back up a hill.
But you're blowing them out at like 300 yards and you didn't even know they were there.
Yeah.
And you're not trying to like tiptoe yet. You know, it's like that kind of scenario.
And we had already picked out like 5 or 6 that we were watching.
Right.
So there was, or at least 4. And then there were probably another four that we didn't know that were there, or you didn't know when you took off. But that first buck was love drunk. He was, he was just hanging out. And even when the does were blown out, he still
was like manning his ground and standing there on top of this rock and didn't want to move. And then he finally, I think he was
after
like
all the girls,
all
off.
The
yeah,
ladies.
Yeah.
To,
all the girls.
Okay, how many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right, we're good with 8. We're good. Was it 8?
Yeah, I mean, I think I probably got to about 80 yards before he bailed.
Yeah.
About 80 yards from that, like the region. I couldn't see him. I didn't have eyes on him, but I was about 80 yards out. And then finally he bailed out and, you know, I kind of followed in the direction and that was kind of it for that spot that day. Kind of blew him out. But, you know, it was hot. It was like when we got there, it was on.
Yeah,
I think like you said, all of us forgot to eat. Like it was just kind of like didn't do anything. And then like I think I just like that was about a 2-3 hour process of like spotting him, going on a stalk and then coming back. And then I was just like eating food and like, well, what do we do now? Let's go find more deer. Like, let's turn them up, you know. So it was
drive
pretty cool,
to another spot.
Pretty cool that we turned them up like right away. And I mean, it continued the next day, the same thing. I mean, we went to another spot. We kind of wanted to let that spot settle down, so we went to another spot that we had kind of had e-scouted.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, like as soon as we got there, you know, turned up deer.
Yeah. And we found some. It was different mountain range, so. Not just a different spot on, you know, the same mountain. So it's kind of a different terrain, a little bit thicker, with trees and kind of, it was just different. We've seen a buck and I get excited when I see a buck.
Well, I think that spot's important to talk about, that there was no one around, which was great.
Right.
You know, but we still had to go farther to find them.
Yeah,
so we, you know, came in and there was a, I think Jason was the first one walking out on the road. We knew we had to go a little higher and then he spooked the doe and you guys kind of got in front of us and we thought like, oh, wow, we already saw a doe. And then we, you know, kind of went on our first little hike to a glassing spot and then we sat there. No one was really seeing a lot and Jason and I decided to push a little farther.
That's right.
And, you know, you went over one more little crest and then all of a sudden it was on. And so that's, you know, a takeaway always is that, yeah, sometimes it's that good where you sit down and like right away you see something. But if you're not and you think that you've scouted a good place, like just go a little farther. And
it's kind of like just stopping and looking out of the truck And then you're like, nope, nothing's here. Keep driving. But if you just like go hike over that hill and look, is exactly what you're saying. And that's exactly what happened. As soon as you guys go over there, you know, we were kind of bored of looking at the same two hills, mm-hmm. you know, and sides. And so, you know, it was like, okay, well, they got on the radios and told us, yeah, let's go join them. So we went and joined. And again,
it was like almost as soon as you guys walked up.
Right when we got up. Yeah.
As soon as you guys walked up, I think there was a couple does that were getting bumped by a buck.
Yeah, that's what
it was. And then you guys happened to see them running. They had their tails up, which kind of is a dead giveaway.
And I think Anna again was like, I see does. And I'm like, again? Again? I haven't even set up my tripod. So, yeah.
So, note to self, don't set up your tripod. She'll find
it. Just wait for Anna.
Anna, which way should I look? Which way? So that happened. And then we seen the buck like chasing the does and whatnot. Like you said, you don't know that there's other does already bedded down.
Yeah, you just can't see them. You know,
they weren't even moving. Like they're just there. They've been there already.
Gray ghost is lurking in the shadows.
They are freaking they really ghosts. Are.
There's one thing. I mean, them. I think for you, Adrian, I kind of question for you, like stalking. And like, you know, last year we didn't get on as many stalks. Like we spotted a bunch of deer, but it was just like, we didn't get as many plays as this year. This year, I think we both took a way more aggressive approach and knew that we could be way more aggressive and it was going to pay off for us. But like kind of
to a certain extent,
I think with stalking, we saw more deer this time, more bucks this time.
Right.
We put ourselves in good glassing positions right from the start to turn up deers. Also with that, just to kind of add to that, it would be like last year it was a lot drier.
Yep.
It was a really, really bad drought year last year for Arizona and that southern United States. It was very bad. So that I think really helped this year. The water was everywhere and the deer were everywhere in a sense. I don't know how it's going to be, you know, coming up and
you never know.
You never know. It could be really dry and we're still turning them up. I'm not sure. But that's just what it also felt like. The other thing is it was just like, you can't control where the deer pop up from. We are just trying to put ourselves in what looks like it's going to be a good spot. So we must be doing something right, whether it be via e-scouting on Onyx or even maps and satellites and Google Earth, whatever. Or I don't know, maybe we're just getting lucky to be in good positions to see deer.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
to put a stalk on.
It's funny, like when I think about like e-scouting, like I'd freaking go after it and like try to identify as much habitat. You saw how many marks are on my Onyx and stuff. Like I just mark as many locations and like, okay, what's accessible, what's not, how can you get there, what's going to be good habitat all the way around. And I think we just put ourselves in those spots,
right,
and we're in it the whole time. But there's a lot of factors, right, that go into play.
Totally.
But I think like as far as like actually executing a stalk, like there's kind of two parts to it, because it's like coming up with your route to get to the deer and then deciding when you need to slow down and stop and really reassess the situation. Because We're fortunate again. We had four people out there.
Yeah.
We had eyes that you could kind of pick it up. And, you know, like as soon as we'd spot a deer, we'd be like, Anna, don't take your eyes off it. Amy, don't take your eyes off it.
Right.
And it just would get everyone's eyes on it and then just make sure it's bedded. Or if it does move, where does it move to
or whatever. But yeah, you bring up an interesting point. Like I have those hush cushions or whatever that go on your over your boot and you just cinch them down with the bungee. And basically, I put those on. At around, it could be 200 yards or it could be 120 yards. It just depends on the terrain. By the last day of our hunt, it was like 120 yards that I put them on, but I had a lot of cover. I was like going around this mountain top, and it was impossible for the deer to see or hear me because of the wind and the way it was going. I was completely downwind, so I knew I wasn't going to get heard. So I was able to get into 120 and then I felt comfortable. Like, okay, I don't want to really like get any closer. And then all of a sudden Jason gets on the radio, dude, he just got up and he's walking, you know, over that saddle that you're going to be at. And then I had to like hustle over there. So it was like 120. I know I can't take a shot there, but now I'm getting into the range of a shootable range. So that's when I kind of put them on that last day. So it just kind of depends on the sneaking, but it's, I'll tell you one thing. Every time I went on a stalk, and I did three stalks, I believe. I think I did three stalks on this trip. It felt like a success just to go on a stalk and get that close to these deer, just because you see them act so sketchy. Like you girls started naming the does on the last day. Yeah. And one of them was what? Gina and Jenny was the, she was the sketchy one, huh? She would not take her eyes.
Yes, that was the mom. We eventually watched them so long, we figured out which one was the mom, which one was the baby. When you stare at a deer
for like 2 hours straight, four hours.
Well, we were staring at more than just two, but yeah.
But we have a whole episode.
You end up naming them.
We could give you a play by play. I actually have a video clip of us talking about that. But
they are super hyper aware. I was watching some video of some guy saying, or his post on Instagram, that these deer think that every branch, every rock, every tree, every stick, every leaf is hiding a mountain lion. So that's the way they are treating every single moment. So when it felt like one doe is always on alert, like she was the lookout. She was like in charge of of watching the crew, and she let the other ones eat and feed while she was like on guard.
Well, that's a good strategy for them.
Yeah.
Not for us.
Works well, but tough to hunt.
I mean, it's crazy.
Not
like,
for us,
if
for
you're,
sure.
You know, we're glassing from 300, 400, 500 yards away, right, and you like open a candy bar or something to like have a snack. And like,
you had you, candy
like,
bars? Like, why didn't you share?
Meal prep, bro. Meal prep. Like, you know, you open something, or you like adjust your seat, and you're like looking through your glass still, and all of a sudden like the deer like turns its head and stares at you. And you're like, how did they hear that?
Yeah.
Like, I barely moved, and they're staring right at
with
you.
With their ears, too, like, super focused on you. And it's pretty
– it's
which is why we know now not to use aluminum.
Yeah, for the burritos.
Yeah.
Good call. That's meal prep next year.
I have a plan for next year. Don't you worry.
We're learning, and we'll share with you the solution.
Yes. we'll take some pictures of it. It's a good idea. I think it's going to work out well. But
yes. Yeah, going back to the stock. I'm sorry, I mean, no, but going back to the stocks, I mean, it felt like a success every time that we were able to get on a stock. And maybe it was because of last year where we didn't get to go on that many stocks, to where we had to work that hard, you know, to get the few opportunities we did.
I think the location that we were, the locations, all of the places we went to where we were glassing from were better places.
Yeah.
And I think like just paying attention to like what time of day, and then like what
elevation,
like where you could get to, look at, you know, winding constantly. I think all of those things, then all of a sudden Jason, you know, and, you know, is going on a 200 yard stalk instead of a 600 or 700 yard stalk.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes they're inevitable. You're going to go in those long stalks, but just finding deer closer all of a sudden made it, you know, more real, and it gave you guys more chances.
Yeah, it felt way different from last year. Not to take away from last year, but
it's the lessons, right?
Yeah, we took away, and I think, you know, Anna and I talked about this a million times, you know, it was like the lessons. And I think last year we took the lessons and we learned from the lessons and applied what we learned last year into this one. And we're super new to archery. I mean, like I've only been shooting a bow for 15 months. And I've gone on 2 archery hunts, really, maybe 3, but, you know, 2 realistically.
I know kids that are like,
right? And so, like, it's just one of those things that we applied the lessons learned last year to this year.
Totally, man.
And got in close. I mean, you were talking about the does kind of as, like, spotters. I mean, so I think crazy. I got snorted at by multiple does this year. Like, multiple. Like, I was with, like, 15 yards from one, blew her out, like, which I was impressed that I got 15 yards, another one 40 yards, another one 80 yards.
But like, it's scary when you don't know they're there and they just get up and like, I'm like, what was that? Is that a pterodactyl? What was that? And
they earn their name of the fantail, right?
And, like, you see that fantail butt just running away bright white, and you're just like, no way. Where did that come from? How dare you?
Yep.
Are you in the tree? I didn't see you. Yeah, it was pretty wild. It was a lot of fun. And we will talk about it some more because I am thirsty.
Yeah, grab another drink and we'll get into some more stories and keep recapping the trip.
Jason, you got a story to tell.
Did you ever?
Did you say recapping the trip? Yeah.
Pretty much.
We're going to recap it.
Yeah. I'm gonna need another drink after recapping.
Yes, you are.
Yes. We'll be right back. We're back. The beers are full.
One more can. Anna, they can you open your full. Beer?
Someone jumped the gun. Someone's excited opening. To drink their beer. Anna, what are you drinking over there? Actually, by the way, since you were so excited to get into that, what are you drinking?
I was so excited two times in a row. It's The Weekend Vibes by Coronado.
It's pretty good. I have the same myself. Yeah, it's delicious. It's
IPA, India Pale Ale.
What about you, Aime? What do you got over there?
Well, I'm on to the seltzer. I think it's a spicy pineapple because this story is going to get spicy.
Yeah, so spicy.
That's a Michelob Ultra, and you had a Modelo. Hell yeah, we're drinking.
I think about how many seltzers I've crushed over the last couple of years, man. It's unbelievable.
Welcome back to the drinking game, Aime. Welcome back.
Cheers.
Thanks for having the baby, Jeremy.
IPAs with the rest of you. I can't do it yet.
Thanks for having baby, Jeremy.
I'm sorry we brought you an IPA.
Jeremy's literally watching a hunting video right now. There are hunting elk.
Swing.
They are packing out an elk right now, and he can't take his eyes off of the elk.
I know, and he has a deer blanket on his lap. So
future hunter, right there.
Wearing camo.
He is wearing camo. So thank you to my son, who
future hunter
is now awake. So we'll see how long I can hang out with you guys, but he's a good boy so far. So we'll keep rolling.
There's 13 tags remaining apparently on the TV, so he's good.
He's got plenty left.
All
he gets to watch is hunting, fishing, and food prep videos. So,
if you're gonna let your kids watch TV before they're one,
yes,
it has to be hunting,
fishing. It's all educational.
Or football.
Exactly. Sports, hunting, and fishing. That's it.
You gotta draw the line somewhere.
Absolutely. We don't watch that baby stuff.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Funny. So, yeah, Jason, what is your takeaway after this trip? What would you have done differently? And we're not going to get into the last day of the hunt. As far as that can't be your different. What would you do differently from this one from last year? Like, what would you change? What did you figure out that you're like, damn it?
Well, I think like the big lesson for me, I think, again, we turned up a lot of deer. We were kind of putting ourselves in the right spot, right? So we were turning up a lot of deer.
The big lesson. That would have been easier to say.
Good job. you know, one of those things that the one thing that I was like, I kept thinking about and kind of hashing over pretty much every day was like, we were getting on stocks and we're very new to stocks, right? Like, I don't need to say that I know what I'm doing because I don't, you know, like if I can get within, you know, if I was rifle season, we would have killed every deer we saw. And we would have killed trophies. We saw some big bruiser bucks this year. I'm talking like Boone and Crockett type stuff.
Now I know why, sorry to interrupt you, but now I know why when they have a rifle, they're like, no, that's not the right buck. I'm going to wait for the right one.
Right.
Because like you get to get in rifle range of so many of them.
Yeah. And we were in rifle range, you know, and maybe if you were like a crazy archer, you know, maybe, you know, with some of the stocks that we got on. But, I think multiple times on this trip, I got to within 80 yards of deer, like bedded deer. And I needed to slow myself down in that moment because I had decided before the trip, I decided I was going to be ultra aggressive on going in on stocks. And as soon as we spotted a deer, bedded it, because during the rut, like these deer move, like you see them and they're just out cruising. The bucks are cruising for does and they're trying to like check if they can find does that are ready to breed. Right. That's what they're out doing. And then they get kind of tired and they lay down and they can lay down for 10 minutes. They can lay down for 5 hours. Like you don't know.
Yeah.
And so you just have to kind of put yourself in the right spot. And so we were putting ourselves in the right spot and we were getting in on stocks. And I think like that 80 yards is like really like the distance that you have to like then slow down and stop and get to a point where you can like get your stock, just approach slower. And so I would get to 80 yards and I would get kind of impatient, right? Like I wouldn't get the stock down, and I would kind of like rush it, maybe get like 20 more yards. And then sure enough, like I would hear either on the radio or see the deer just blow out and run away.
Yeah.
And so I think it's like knowing when to be aggressive, but then knowing when to be patient, you know, like I think it's like that balance and trying to figure that out.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's a good takeaway, I guess. I kind of noticed the same thing as far as like getting around, you know, 40, 50 yards away and then stepping on a stick, and then you messed it up.
Yeah. So, and I mean, you know, the professionals or the YouTube hunters that you see on TV and, you know, the guys that hunt for a living, they do that, you know, like they do it, but I think they eliminate those mistakes and they kind of can just be a little bit more patient about doing that. But I think, again, you know, you said it best, it was a success to get just in get on those deers. I mean, just because how tuned in coos deer are, it's just a different level. You know, they're just, and that's why I'm so in love with those animals. I mean, I just like, it's such a cool thing. And we talked about it a little bit on the break, and, you know, Ann and I had talked about it a million times of like, it's kind of meditation for me. Mm-hmm. Like you just go out there, you slow down, you glass. And when you start to pick up animals and you just watch, like I would just watch it. Like I would pick up a doe or two and I just would watch them for like literally an hour. I would just, you're staring at the same deer and you're just watching it do its thing. Mm-hmm. And it's eating, grazing, and then it stops and stares for like 10 minutes and it's just staring off into the distance. And you're like, what's it looking at? And then it like is like, okay, everything's fine.
Yeah.
And it goes back to eating.
Yeah.
And it just watching them. I joked with Amy on the drive back. I felt like I was turning into a coos deer because I was doing the same thing. I would walk 10 feet and I would stop and just stare and look around and just check, just observe. And I told you guys multiple times, I picked up so many deer with my bare eyes.
Yeah.
Just because I started to kind of understand what was happening and like what to look for. And if you saw movement, I would just lock in on the movement and be like, nope, that was just the wind blowing. Or nope, actually that's a deer. Oh, like, and then I could tell the difference.
That's Adrian taking a piss.
Yeah, totally. Like, well, but.
And I think it's important that you talked about, you know, obviously you're going to find does, but then the buck is usually behind, right?
Right.
And then you see them moving and all of a sudden the body language, it's like head down, ears back, and you can pick it out. You don't even need your binos. You know, you're
head
like, yep.
Down, ears because, back. That's the
because no, they're, you know, you're talking about a small deer that you might not be able to pick out how big that rack is. Do they have a rack? Do they not? I don't know. But the way that one's moving, it has to have something. And then you're able to take your time and really dissect what's happening. And then sure enough, every time we're like, yep, that's a buck. Yeah. So we all got better at that.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. That really did help just by, you know, seeing, like for me, I saw deers with their tails up and they were walking fast and kind of trotting and running and hopping away. And I'm like, there's no way they heard me, you know, just like
walk in or
undo my clip on my jacket, right? I'm way too far. And then you're like, okay, so let me kind of go down from where they're coming from. And sure enough, there's a buck coming up, smelling every step, every, you know, trail.
They leave their scent.
You know, it's crazy. And so, yeah, that was pretty cool to see.
There was one day that
you learn these deer.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't. Mm-hmm. But I think that's super important. I think Anna talked about that a little bit, and I think it's super important to do that. And there was one day that it actually rained. You know, when we showed up, it was cold and raining. And I knew that day, I was like, the rut's gonna kick off. Like,
he also said it's not gonna rain.
I did say it wasn't gonna rain. I didn't bring any rain gear.
My fault for not having some rain.
I didn't bring
gear.
Any rain gear. I was like, it's not gonna rain today.
Did you ask him that morning, Amy? You asked him like, hey, is it gonna rain today?
And he's specifically
like, rain
said,
is not in the forecast.
Rain is not in the forecast, and it dumped.
But Jason Mountain.
Like, as soon as like. But like,
Jason,
I guess that's trusting
wrong.
My own intuition, right? If I was asking the question, I should just bring my gear.
Well, we got back into the spot, and it was a new spot, and there happened to be another truck back. There was the only truck we really saw the whole trip.
It really was the only
and
truck.
So we drove back to the spot. It was way back there, and we were like, dang it, there's a truck back here. Let's bail out. Let's leave these guys back here. And so we backed out and we bumped a buck on the road, and it was a bruiser, man. It was a good cruising deer, and he came
shooter.
Yeah, it was. He came cruising across the road, and we were like, oh, okay. And then we got back to another spot that we had picked out that was kind of in the general vicinity, and it rained for about an hour. We kind of just chilled out and relaxed, and then we decided to split up. And so Amy and I went up one hill, and Adrian and Anna went up another hill, and we got up kind of at elevation. and you guys were bumping deer like crazy. All the deer were right where you guys were. So you guys were bumping does like crazy. And so just saw probably like six fantails just like running away. And we were like, okay, like there's deer over there. I'm like, just wait there for a minute. We got a little higher. And then down below, we saw a buck cruising who had been kind of working all those does in the meantime. And he was down in the bottom. He didn't follow him up over the top. And I was like, oh my God, that is a big deer. It was one of the bigger deer
right.
that we saw on the trip. It was absolutely. A bruiser. And I said, dude, look for it, look for it. But I don't think you guys could turn
no,
it
we, just yeah.
from your angle.
Because we were kind of saddled out, you know, where it evens out after climbing up a hill. And I think looking backwards and down, it just, we didn't have the right angle. You guys were on the other hill mm-hmm. across and looking back towards us. And you guys had the perfect angle to see mm-hmm. him. But yeah, that was an interesting spot. Very deep valleys, but close hills. Like yeah, you know, yeah. you can get down and up the next one kind of quick. That was a really good spot.
Yeah, it was, and I think it was interesting that like you know it was the first day that we decided to split up.
I know.
And, you know, you guys were like in the mix with the deer, like standing in them. And yeah. we were glassing them, and you guys had no idea they were there. You know, like they were like running around you. It was
ultimately
crazy.
That hill that I got up to the top of, it was about, oh, I don't want to give the elevation. Someone might find it. No, I'm just kidding. But
you gained about a couple hundred feet.
Yeah, we went up 200 feet at least, and the top of that had the most deer poop I've ever seen mm-hmm. in like such a short little area of walking around. So it kind of, after this trip, I kind of like realized like there was concentrated deer poop on one hill
that was
in that
the most
area.
Deer mm-hmm. poop.
Just like,
because
a lot.
We later that day, we lost that big buck after watching him a lot. And then Jason and I decided to go farther and there was nothing.
Yeah, it was like,
I mean,
it was,
there was really hardly any sign.
It was good habitat, but we didn't see anything. You know?
Right. Just, and so the hill that we happened to send you guys up was the hot hill.
Well, it was kind of like the second day of the trip where you guys decided to just keep walking up and right. see what was over the next hill. This time it was like hot right where we were. And then you guys moved and it was like, not
and
it.
The difference was that we saw it right away versus we didn't see it, you know, right away.
Right.
So it's just, you know, trusting your instincts. And that goes back to the conversation about, is it, you know, four people is great when you have a lot of eyes, right?
So right.
But it's also like if we split up to
it's
think
definitely
like,
more noise.
Yeah, it's more noise. We split up, but all of a sudden it was like, was it better? What if we had just all gone to mm-hmm. the hill that Jason and I went mm-hmm. to and we wouldn't have spooked those deer?
Yeah,
would we have gotten something?
Tough.
You know, it's always that is more people better. I don't know.
It's tough.
But don't worry, you're still invited next year.
No, don't worry,
I'm
ladies.
Not trying to, ladies.
You ladies.
I'm pretty sure we found a lot of the deer, so we're going to get our own tags.
Well,
our
that's
own
why list. You keep oh getting God, invited, because you find boys. The deer, okay? Nuh-uh, don't play that
I wasn't,
game.
I wasn't hunting fit this year. I didn't feel like I take a animal ethically after not shooting for, you know, 9 months.
You got to shoot your bow? You got to
I
shoot
did,
your
I
bow
did,
on this trip.
I got back in it.
And you didn't even have to let down. You were just like, got it back.
Yeah.
I got a lot of
work to do.
What do you think of that, Bruce? What do you think of that, Bruce?
Yeah, I got a lot of work left to do. But I think it's interesting. One other time, we didn't really split up. It was second time we went back to the area where we saw the one truck. And we went up the other side. And
middle
you guys,
of the week then? Middle of the
yeah,
week?
Middle of the week. And you guys, you know, kind of sat, you know, kind of we're all on the same plateau. But you guys sat on one side and we sat on the other. And Jason and I are like, oh, we saw some deer. And then we saw some more. And you didn't even see the ones that we saw, and they were only about 200 yards away. And that was an awesome buck too, that Jason got to. They didn't really get to go after because they went over the hill. But
I think that was Thursday. And really, what I took from that was the fact that we were walking in so quiet and up that hill, and we crested that hill.
Yep.
And we were like in the zone. Without knowing we were,
mm-hmm.
and we saw javelina sign, and then we kind of separated, like you said, like 80 yards apart, yep. 100 yards apart, and immediately, or, you know, pretty quick, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you guys see those deer blow out, mm-hmm. and from underneath you about 120 to, and they go to 200 yards. That was crazy because that means that they were there the whole time.
Yep.
Yeah. And that one was crazy because we didn't really even blow them out. Like they, like it was a buck.
It was just
pushing,
rutting.
It was a buck pushing a doe, and he was rutting this doe and pushed her probably about 200 yards from us. They stopped and I tried to kind of make a play.
Yeah.
And but it was like, I had to go down into a valley and come back up. And by the time I kind of had started to make a play, they pushed over a ridgeline and went into the next valley. And, you know, once you lose eyes on them, it's pretty hard to pick them
up. It's really tough.
You can chase after them, but it's really hard to kind of track them back down. But again, the thing was, is we were on deer every single day, you know, like it was, that was the testament to it.
Like, and it felt good to like, just like hiking in without them, like really knowing we were there.
Yeah.
You know, that felt pretty cool to like,
which is probably very hard.
Yeah.
Because there's four of us. There's a lot of movement.
For sure. It's definitely true. And I think but again, I think that comes to like over time, you start to figure out what's happening. You figure out how to move more efficiently. You figure out how to move quietly. Like everybody starts to kind of.
Yeah, that was the fifth thing. That was the fifth hunt day.
Yeah.
That was the day five of hunting. So automatically we start hiking in and everyone is just naturally quiet with their step. And as you crest that hill, you're just super quiet and, you know, not talking loud or, you know, just.
Yeah.
Everyone
starts to get into a groove and I think it just is important. But I think it was interesting and I'll jump into this story because I think it's worth getting into. And I think, you know, the girls after five solid days of hunting, mm-hmm. which again, I mm-hmm. thank you guys for
absolutely.
And grinding it out. And, you know, like we had lots of opportunities and we were putting in like, you know, 8, 9, 10 hour days out in the field.
We don't want to push you too much, but you girls did awesome.
Like, no, it's
we're not trying to push you too hard, but you guys did awesome.
No. And so you guys were like, hey, we're going to bow out on this last day. We had the sixth day.
I just needed what'd you guys
end up doing on that day? What'd you guys end up doing on that day?
We ventured into the Arizona wine country, which was great. My first time.
Tasting, drinking, hanging out, just relaxing.
And I got some wine tasting in, girl.
Yeah, I was like, Amy, how do I do this? I don't know if it's so much.
Where do I spit?
We found some places to go hang out, and we got to hang out with grandma and just have a girls plus Jeremy day and you boys. We sent you boys out
to go get it done.
To get it done. Cause
yeah. And we were excited, you know, like again, you know, it was kind of like,
but you girls had a great day, right?
Yes.
You had a great, Friday and then we're leaving on Saturday.
Yes.
But, yeah, so then Jason.
We know how to enjoy ourselves. I mean, we like hanging out with you guys too, but we know how to enjoy ourselves. So we sent you boys out. I know somebody had their feelings hurt a little bit that we weren't going.
I was
might be staring at him right now.
No, I mean, I was definitely giving Anna shit. Like, you're not a real hunter. What the hell, babe?
Let me just sleep.
And then when we go to bed and she's like, are you seriously like, you know, mad that I'm not going? I'm like, no, we're good. I was just giving you a hard time.
And it was, you know, we were obviously bummed. It's less eyes out there, but, you know, Adrian and I decided to go out, just the two of us. And so we, you know, we were kind of scrambling. We had gone to a lot of spots. We had retried spots and it was just like, it was do or die. It was the ninth inning,
you know, this is the ninth inning and we have to get it done. The pressure is on. And, we felt it that morning when we got in the truck and we got out of the cattle guard gate, and we started talking. And it's like, well, we got to get it done, man.
Yeah,
and where are we gonna go?
Yeah, and it was like kind of like that conversation, like where are we gonna go today? And so I had found some spots the previous year that we didn't get to go to, and I said, you know what, dude, let's just go check this spot. Let's just go see what's up.
And we went to a new spot. One of the spots we went to in those first five days.
It just looked like it had good habitat based off of e-scouting. Like, we had never been there.
I'm
like,
sure you weren't keeping this spot from us?
I was feeling a little left out.
He's like, hey, he's this like, spot I'm going to take you to less. Has bucks everywhere. We won't need them.
Yeah.
So, funny enough, that being said, like, we start to drive down this dirt road, and we pull up, and there's a couple, like, campers back in there. And
we're talking like trailers, side by sides. Like they have the full on. They are 60 and over, and they know how to camp kind of attitude.
Glamping.
And
there was guys that had some blocks out there, like bow hunters, like other bow hunters that were out there. And I said to Adrian, I was like, man, this place has been hit, dude. Like, I don't know if this is going to work, man. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, let's just go back and check it. Let's just drive to the end of the road.
Yep.
And we'll hike from there and just kind of push up this glassing knob that, you know, it looks like it has some good habitat. So we drove back there, and I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm feeling this, man.
Right.
And so we hiked.
As we were going up the mountain, like, you know, taking little tiny mini breaks, he was like, I don't know, man. I'm really not feeling this. We should be over there glassing over here on this mountain that in hindsight, we should be over there looking at this mountain. But yeah, it was good.
And
we were blowing doves.
And so as soon as we get to the top of this knob, and it was, you know, we gained a lot of elevation. We gained, you know, a couple hundred feet of elevation
at least
the top of this thing. And so we get to the top, and right when I crest the top, all of a sudden I just see a bunch of fantails and deer running away. Bunch
like
of does
four, running away. Four or five does running away from us and as we like, get to the top.
And I look back at Adrian, I'm like, damn it, dude.
We just blew it.
We just blew it. Like, we just like totally blew it right now. And so like, and this was like first light, like barely light coming up. So I'm like, dude, we just blew it. So I'm like, well, let's just keep going. Let's just get to the top and let's take a look up there and see what's up. And so we get to the top and, you know, there was a nice little saddle that was there. And so
by this time, the girls were having their first wine.
Yeah. about 7 a.m. They were having their first wine. And so we creep up there and we get to this like saddle and I'm like, all right, like, let's just cruise to the saddle and let's just sit down and glass and see what we can turn up. And so we crept up to the saddle and I sat down and I just started ranging the saddle and I was about 80 yards from the bottom of the saddle. And we were kind of, Adrian and I had kind of separated a little bit, you know, 30, 40 yards away.
Yeah.
And, you know, we started getting set up and all of a sudden, like these two does came walking up that saddle. And I was like, Adrian, there's two does. And like, they were right there. They didn't know we were there. They came walking up. The wind was perfect. Everything was perfect for that little saddle. They came walking up and they just like got to the top of the saddle and just like a coos deer would do, like it looked over at me and just was like, something's not right. And it just knew something was right. And I was just staring at it and I was like, oh my God. And so they stopped there. Kind of, she snorted a little
bit. She snorted once.
And then she blew like to 20 yards away.
Yeah.
And then she did another 20 yards.
Yeah.
And then like slowly the doe and the fawn walked away.
With their tails up, they kind of like, okay.
Girls
like,
just know.
Something's wrong.
They know when there's trouble. They know when there's trouble around. There's a bad boy around.
Yeah.
There's trouble here.
Yeah, something was definitely wrong and they knew it. And it was so cool because what happened 20 minutes after was from the direction of the next knob over with just a tiny little saddle that's connecting it, like a 10-yard saddle. It was a spike buck. A buck came out and he's walking now towards us completely from the direction that I thought he would be running from. You know what I mean? Like he should have just totally like followed those does or chased those does, but he starts to walk towards us. And from where I'm at, I only have this angle of, oh my gosh, here he comes. He's coming down this mountain or this knob, and now he's about to get closer to us, and now I lose him. So I knew because I couldn't move. If I was to like just get up and stand up, he was gonna bust me right away. I was just perfectly laid down and kind of like sitting in this spot, but I couldn't get up. It would have blown everything. So as soon as he came down and out of sight of me, that's when I look over at you, and I was like, Jason has his bow in his hand and there's an arrow knocked on his string. He must see the entire deer. And Jason, then what happened?
Well, so I'll rewind just a little bit. So when I saw those two does came over.
I didn't set it up right.
Well, no, you set it up perfect. But when those two does came over at 80 yards, I said, the rut was in full swing. So I said, well, there's probably going to be a buck that's going to be cruising, chasing those does around. So I said, let me get a little closer to the saddle. The wind was in the perfect direction. Everything was right. And so I got down to about 40 yards of the bottom of the saddle. And when I did that, I was like, hey, like, I'm just going to sit down in class. I'm going to bring my bow. I just brought my tripod, my binoculars, and my bow. And I sat down, started glassing, started looking around. And then I started glassing the ridge that those does had gone over. And like right away, like this little tiny spike buck came like cruising back. And I just had like the perfect like skyline of this buck.
It's a good thing you did, because you got on the radio right away. Like you said, we're about 40 yards apart. So if you would have had to say like, Adrian, like whisper
it
yell,
I would have blown
him out. And I didn't see him because I was setting up. I was just walking away from you. So yeah, it was like perfect radio. Again, the radios.
The way he was moving, like I knew it was a buck, and the way he was approaching us, I knew he was coming right towards the saddle that I was sitting on. And so I watched him and I was like, all right, he's coming right towards me. So I just moved my tripod and my binoculars out of the way, and I just grabbed my bow, knocked an arrow, and I was like, all right, it's on. Like, this thing's coming right to us. And he came quick, and he moved very, very fast, because he went from 120 yards was where I like first saw him to about 40 yards. And then all of a sudden he was right underneath me. He was at 10 yards right underneath me. And so I had a bush right behind me to kind of give me some cover, and a bush in front of me that I didn't realize was there. But as soon as he was 10 yards, I realized this thing was there. And so it was underneath me. And I said, I just decided right then to draw back. I drew back. And I said, as soon as he steps out from this bush, I'm going to shoot. And, you know, I've got him. And so when I drew back, I had my beanie on because it was cold in the morning. And my anchor point from archery is right behind my ear, because I use a wrist strap. And so when I did that, the beanie was blocking my anchor point. So I had to move. And I think you saw me doing
that. That's when I saw you. So yeah, I looked back over to try to find the deer. Once I saw you draw back, I was like, wait, what's he drawing? Oh my God, this is happening. So I took my phone out of my pocket and I'm like getting it ready for a video. And you are like, it almost looked like you were like scratching your, like a cat does that licks the back of its paw and then it kind of scratches its ear. It almost looks like you were like scratching your ear. And I'm like, what's he doing? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And then I get to hit and record. And yeah, I mean, I guess what had happened was the beanie thing was like holding your ear and kind of blocking your anchor point. And then the deer kind of sensed all that movement and runs back away from you,
and it ran back, and I, you know, I kind of spooked it when I did that. It just
now
kinda,
I'm videoing
it realized,
you.
Yeah, you and I had been at full draw already, and so I was at full draw.
Yeah,
the deer bumps back, and I had marked landmarkers with my rangefinder, and I said, this bush is at 40 this year, this bush is at 50, this bush is at 60, and when I, gosh, you know, just in the heat of the moment,
I could just see it.
The deer bumped back to that bush that I had marked at 40. And in the heat of the moment, I decided, like, I was at full draw, had my anchor point now, felt really good, was really calm, saw the deer, and was like, okay, I had to guess. And I guessed 50, and I pulled through my shot, had the deer at broadside. And when I pulled through, it just watched my arrow sail right over his back. And I missed him by, like, an inch, you know. Like, and I'm glad I didn't hit him, because at the end of the day, I didn't want to injure him. Like,
sure,
if I would have put it on my 40 pin, it's done deal.
Yeah.
And that thing's down, but, you know, didn't do it. And, you know, it is what it is. But the fact that we got a shot, you know, we got ourselves in some opportunities.
I got your shot on video. That was cool.
Yeah, it is. We'll put that up on the Insta, and we'll get it up there and do our thing. But
dude, your baby Jeremy is getting super, super fussy.
Can you hear him?
He's in hand. We're at that point.
He just came over to the show. We're fine. He's also the best baby ever.
He doesn't make a sound.
I will say that it was pretty exciting when I got a text message. I checked in with you guys, and you're like, mm-hmm. Oh, I got a shot. And, you know, and of course, like, you're bummed. Like, I know how much we've done this year. Not only, you know, having a baby, but you stayed up on your training and you kept shooting. And you got a shot was amazing. That means that you were in a good spot. But also that you missed it was, you know, heartbreaking as well. And I know you guys had a good rest of the day, but, you know, it's an amazing feat, and it's a bummer all at the same time.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I, you know, in hindsight, like, it is what it is.
It was good trip.
I had to judge where the steer was going to go.
It was a good trip, man.
It spooked out, and you know, it is what it is.
But it was a good
trip. Let's take a quick quick break, and we'll just come back for just a quick recap of the
perfect.
Trip.
Perfect.
We'll
such a good trip.
I need another excuse for another drink, so that's all I'm
after
really
that
want.
Story.
Yeah,
need
yeah.
Another drink.
I need another drink. I missed a deer, and you know whatever.
It is what you need a shot right now. Is what you need. Yeah. I'm gonna pour you up a
I
shot.
I got this different stuff right
you
behind
some
me, dude.
Bourbon.
But let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we are back for the third
sweet
round.
Sweet noise.
That was a good
music
what
to
sound
my ears.
Bite.
What you got over there, buddy? What are you
that
drinking
was a good
there,
sound
dude?
Bite.
That was
I must say. That was like professional
I'm
recording.
I'm going to have to recap that one.
Yeah, there. You're going to have to cut that little piece yeah. and we can use that in the future. I'm drinking Lagunitas Little Sun.
That is delicious.
Little Sun.
Delicious.
Little
Sun.
Little Sun.
So, yes, we finished off with me missing a deer. I'm still depressed about it. I'm going to think about that for
blowing
a long time.
It.
It's going to haunt me, dude. I mean, not to bring up bad, I mean, not to bring up old shit, but.
Why you got
to
bring up old shit?
Does it happen? Adrian hated it and loved it all at the same time.
Hey.
Last year, you missed a deer. This year, I missed a deer.
We said that this episode was going to be about this year and not about last year. What the frick?
True statement.
All right, but, yeah, but I.
It's but so, I think, like, again, the reason I bring it up is it's testament. We're getting in the spot.
Yeah.
We're very new. We're very new to bow hunting, and we're getting chances. And this year, like, I felt like we got a lot more opportunities. Big deer, good deer, seeing them, getting stocks in. So it was great, man.
It really amped me up for, like for the notion that last year wasn't a fluke.
Right.
Like, we saw a lot of deer this year. And we actually saw different species of deer, and
one javelina.
We even saw
one javelina. Yeah.
One giant javelina. My
damn javelina!
Goodness, that thing was big.
You guys would just listen to me.
Carry a damn tag around, and I freaking get one opportunity, and it just didn't happen. But
my navigator said to keep driving.
I know he had the tag, but
I did.
Just listen to me.
My navigator said, no, keep going. We'll go up here. And I'm like, okay. But I did not fight it. Amy said, no, pull over here. And Jason, no, go over there. But it's okay. It's all right. We only saw one.
Yeah,
and it was a big, I would have to assume it was a boy, but it was big.
Yeah, it was a big
he was
big,
a solo.
Big boar, yeah.
It was a solo. And yeah. that
like
thing,
he ate the whole other herd. Like he was that big.
And he had like shoulder pads on.
Yeah.
He had like a
maybe
linebacker.
Maybe somebody's pig had escaped. Maybe it wasn't javelina. Because like that thing was huge.
That thing was big.
I thought it was a dog.
Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately this year was
like
amazing. Like this year was way different than last year. But it was like just as good. It was just as fun. Like I had an amazing time.
Like you said, way different from last year, but so good.
Yeah, there was just that. Like when I think about it, like, you know, recapping it, you know, recording it is tricky, but it's hard because there's so many different times. And like, you know, being back at work and like kind of back to quote unquote reality, like I go through these moments of just going like, man, that was awesome. Like, I can't believe that happened. Oh my God. Like, and I have all these memories of these things. And I think the biggest thing, like for me, the biggest takeaway was like, I didn't come home with a deer. I had a shot at a deer.
Right.
I didn't come home with a deer.
Right.
But I came home with everything other than the deer. Right.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, it was amazing, dude.
It was like last year. Like we did everything but bring the meat home.
Yeah.
And
next year.
But what's
next year.
That's exactly what I was going to say. What's really cool is we're already signed up. Well, you know, we still technically with our tags, over the counter archery tags, we can go in August and we can go in December again. I don't know if I want to sit in the August heat, but, you know, it's still up to me to do that, which is nice for our tag. And we don't have to wait till next January.
Yeah.
But, but for that deer, that's when the rut kicks off for that species. And that's kind of when you want to be there. It's like bluefin, you know, that's when the sardines and the anchovy run, or I don't know how it works.
When it's happening, it's happening. You got to strike while the iron's hot. So it was a good trip, but I think I want to get to kind of just everyone's kind of like
recap.
Perspective perspective of the trip. We'll start with you, Aim. You've got a baby in arm.
You're literally
a hungry baby,
arm right now.
Rocking, yeah.
But just wanted to kind of get your kind of quick synopsis of the trip.
It's okay if he talks into the mic too.
And
we'll
kind of what you're looking forward to next time.
Looking forward to next year. Definitely. I think my takeaway is just to slow down. I think we were slower this year than we were last year, but still, like, you know, like you talked about day 4 or 5, we were so much slower than we were before. And then just keep up the training. Like, you've got to keep up the training. You've got to do the work beforehand. Probably not
lift,
break your bow.
Run, shoot every day.
Jeremy, Cameron what's Haynes, your take? Baby. What's your take, Jeremy? Oh my gosh,
sound.
You could hear his pacifier.
He's saying something. I don't know. One of these days he'll be able to tell us what it is. But yeah, I don't know. I was just like super proud of you guys for as many stocks as you guys went on and getting close a lot of times. And then also like not taking a shot that wasn't worth it. You know, like you didn't injure any animals either. And that's important to remember that we're out here to get animals the right way. And you didn't take shots that you shouldn't take. And just means that you got to change your sight and work a little harder and shoot farther, right?
Well, thank you for that. No, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of, we had a lot of opportunities, but we didn't force it, right? The only shot I took was definitely a good shot.
Yeah, that was a good shot.
Just missed it, you know, it just wasn't, it is what it is. Anna, how about you? What was your kind of like your quick recap of the trip, kind of thoughts on it, and then like what you're looking forward to for next time?
I guess the whole,
and it's like, I would do nothing different. I found deer and you guys can't
you
shoot them.
It.
I would do nothing different.
No, I mean, like,
she's like, I would marry someone who can hunt and get a deer. That's what you would do different, huh?
No. The recap would be
the
like,
truth is coming out. I know it.
No, I also agree with Amy. Like, I feel like I was very loud the first couple of days because you're not used to it, and so like I would definitely slow down on even more on day one and then continue to slow down even more throughout the days, because yeah, it's like you don't think you have a heavy foot, but you have a heavy foot.
Yeah.
Like, they hear everything.
Totally.
So like I want to be to the point where I can go with you guys even though I'm not like hunting and still not scare deer. That's my goal. Next year.
That's a rational response, but I think mine's funnier.
I don't know. Maybe wine tasting on Wednesday instead of Friday. Like, not waiting so long to wine taste.
Wednesday.
Wine Wednesday. At least one day.
it happened. But
And then, just for next year, like, you guys are really good at what you do. Like, you guys, 1 year in and you guys have already,
we both have had shots and missed.
It's amazing, you know? And it's actually very I would want to like one day like go with you guys to hunt, obviously, because you guys do your research.
You actually want to stalk, is what you're saying? One day.
I think it's cool. Wow. I mean, I think that's something we should highlight, that the fact that, like, you know, you hadn't really hunted before, even last year.
Never.
Like, you had never gone out and done anything. And like, I think we went on like a dove hunt, which is a good introductory to
well, I told her if she wants to marry me, she has to be a hunter.
You never said
no, I never said that. No.
And then like, you know, to dang go on it, like a big game hunt, like a deer hunt is a whole nother level. And like the fact, like, I think you tuned into the proper part of it, which is super important. And I think like, that's something we can't just like gloss over, right? It's super important. Like, we're all new hunters, and especially you that doesn't even like technically quote unquote hunt, that you've gone out there and you've like spotted the animals and you've seen the pureness of it and the ethical part of it and everything that goes along with it, and like you're embracing that, which is super important.
The amount of effort
it's work, and the fact that you embrace
good
the work is it's fun, right? Like, I think at the end of the day, that's the beautiful part, is it's super fun. And you know, it's awesome to see. Like I said, Anna, you're invited. You know, we distress these guys. You can go spot some deers for me anytime you want. I'll pull some other tags and we can go out there and you can do that. That's for
looks
sure.
Like, I'm not Jason's best friend anymore.
Yeah,
he's got two other options and they're females.
I'll be like, hey, Anna, you want to go deer hunting this weekend? Let's go.
I don't
Let's
get go. The invite anymore.
No, but it's good awesome. Stuff. It's fantastic. I mean, that's the whole thing. And I think, again, we're late onset hunters, but the fact that new hunters are interested.
Is that why you call us old?
Yeah,
oh my God, I just felt like 100 years old. Oh my God.
Betty Crocker just came out of here. Laid the law down on your ass.
It happens every day.
Late onset hunters. Oh God. Adrian, what's your takeaway?
I would have to say, well, it actually starts with the prep. So what I'm gonna circle back to your whole prep of the gear and stuff. Check your bow. and I don't mean about dry firing. I mean, like, 2 weeks actually before, a full week before we left, I was shooting at Anna's sister and my brother-in-law's house. And my sight was loose up and down. And it's kind of like a Murphy's Law. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong, including dry firing your bow. I was shooting at, you know, practicing, and everything was perfect on my sight. Everything was perfect. And I go over, you know, to my sister-in-law's house, and all of a sudden my sight's off. Like, what the hell? I'm shooting low left? Like, what the hell?
I'm bad, just not that bad.
Yeah. Like, no, like, this is only 20 yards. I should be good. I should be fine. Come to find out, 20 minutes later, I actually move my sight up and down, and it's actually moving. So the screws had gotten loose from the last time I shot it to the time I took it over to the house. Check your gear before any trip. And that goes down to the last nut and bolt that you have to actually just check. Make sure it's tight. That's a big takeaway this year for me, is to check my gear before my trip. The next takeaway, or what was the next question?
It's like, you don't get this takeaway, but if you have another takeaway, go ahead and let us know.
What are you looking forward to next year, dude?
Oh, looking forward. I knew there was a second part. Okay. Throw me a freaking bone here. I'm hungry. I need calories. I'm hungry. I think next year, what I'm looking forward to is just being there again. I love the fact that I can look at the time, be like, okay, I saw a deer right now, and look at the time, look at the temperature on X, see what the temperature is, and kind of start to see a pattern, trying to figure out the pattern. I can't wait to try to figure out the pattern again next year. Or even later on this year, can't wait to go after a mule deer rather than a coos. I can't wait for the future of.
I just can't get enough.
Just can't get enough.
No, I mean, come on. Look forward to going back. Are you kidding me? I don't know if anybody can tell.
We have such a good spot.
All six listeners. I don't know if you can tell, but, you know, we have a great time. And I think encouraging everybody to find their own great time. Stay off my spots, but have a great time.
If you're one of our six listeners out there, please go on our Instagram and let us know that you're listening. Let us know how you like this episode. That'd be cool.
No, for sure.
One of the six. Only one.
This one's always fun just because it's kind of a recap. I mean, we love recapping trips. On trips. Hope there's some value in it, you know, for people listening.
It's good to get the ladies on.
Yeah, it's just fun. I mean, I think it's a special thing to go out with your significant other. And
I don't get to drink as much. I love
going out with Anna.
Awesome. I don't get to drink as much.
She really motivates me and puts me to the test. I find trying to keep up with her deer counts. But all joking aside, gentlemen, thanks for having us with you. It's pretty awesome to be out with you guys, too.
Did we not see the most dove we've ever seen in our
life? Oh, my God. I'll have to share that video.
I'm definitely not going to tell you where it is.
No.
Because that pin is top secret.
Yeah, that was unreal. That was a cool spot. That was very unique.
Season. I think
that was weird.
All of us have fallen in love with that region. We're not going to tell you where it is. If we ever live
Arizona.
There, maybe you'll know, but
If you get close enough to us, you might know, but you're not going.
But I think like that's the coolest thing is
find
just
your own spot
going
to
there,
love.
Enjoying the space, and just kind of and just vibing off of what's going on there. Yeah. It's a cool, cool area.
Just means we need 2 weeks out there instead of one, right?
Definitely. I'm down with that.
For sure.
Woo! But thank you all for listening. Thanks you guys for joining us today, Anna. Amy, thank you guys for jumping in. Jeremy as well.
Jeremy's
ready to feast
podcast.
Right now. We're all ready to feast right
Jeremy,
now.
Jeremy.
All right.
So thank you guys for listening. Check us out. We'll put up more content from the trip on Instagram. Check us out. Follow us on Instagram, Free Range Tales Podcast.
Let us know.
Check it out. More content coming your way. And we'll check you guys soon. Peace.
Bye.
Free Range Tales is a collective of adventures and stories about outdoor pursuits shared by your hosts, Jason Taurasi and Adrian Lozano. Join us as we share our tales and feature guests with unique perspectives on hunting, fishing, foraging, nature, wildlife, and wild foods, and learn about our search for the highest quality sustainable ingredients we can find. Check us out on Instagram @Free Range Tales Podcast and listen anywhere podcasts are found. Thanks for listening.